Acclaimed filmmaker John Waters is coming to Wisconsin this week as part of the Wisconsin Union Directorate's Distinguished Lecture Series. He'll be speaking in Madison on Thursday night at the Wisconsin Union Theater.
John Waters joins us now. He's a filmmaker and writer, and his latest book is called Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming.
So you're an out gay man who's lived through a lot of different LGBT milestones in American history. Do you kind of feel right now like the LGBT community is at a we've come a long way, baby, kind of moment?
Oh, certainly. I remember when Obama lit up the White House in the gay rainbow flags when gay marriage passed. That was great. That made me very excited. But at the same way, I have no desire to get married, but I'm totally for it. I don't understand why anybody could be threatened. Everybody knows how hard it is to find anybody to fall in love with. So why would that threaten you? I mean, no matter what, if you're straight, gay, anything, it's hard to find anyone. So it's amazing to me that people would be against it. However, I don't want to do it, but there's a lot of heterosexual traditions. I don't want to do the electric slide either. There's lots of things I back away from.
Now, you've been talking about that a little about not wanting to get married, and you're wondering if gay couples who don't want to get married could be the next outsiders in that community. What makes you think about that?
Maybe they're going to be the only minority left with transgendered people that feel they made a rational, irrational decision and want another operation to go back with what they were first. You know, the gay community is quite complicated. Radical feminists have come out against transgendered women saying they had a penis in the beginning that gave them the power to get it cut off. It's very tricky these days.
Now, you've said that you think gay culture emulates straight culture maybe a little too much at times, and you want to give, you know, especially gay people in entertainment, the chance to be bad guys sometimes. What do you mean by that?
Well, the people in entertainment have it easy. What gay person really in the arts is discriminated against? I think straight people should have marches in rich kids' schools. They're the ones that are discriminated against. And I joke that gay acceptance is so big now that we have enough. You know, I know it's coming out day here, and I'm for that. That's why the Republicans gave up on fighting gay marriage, because their own families were gay, and they realized it was a losing battle. But at the same time, sometimes I think we have enough. I'm for coming in, too. Sometimes I think you should audition to be gay.
When you say we have enough, what are you referring to? Enough acceptance?
Well, numbers-wise, I think we have to get quality now. Quantity and quality are two different things. No, I'm basically kidding. It's just sometimes it's kind of funny that the gay acceptance has, but it's usually in wealthy communities. It's a weirdly a class issue acceptance now, which is something that I find troubling.
Now, the transgender movement, as you know, has got a lot of momentum going right now in terms of public awareness, in part thanks to Caitlyn Jenner. How do you see that playing out over the next couple years?
Well, I think it's great. I think transgendered, you know, I had a transgendered woman in Pink Flamingos. To me, it's a little not that new. I'm much more fascinated in a way with transgendered men because I think it feels newer. And can we not ever make fun, though? Caitlyn Jenner is a Republican who was against gay marriage, a Kardashian, and a reality star. We can't make fun of that. I don't know. I feel like my assistant, when she was still Bruce and was doing the interview with Diane Sawyer and was in that car accident, said, women drivers. You know, I thought that was funny.
We're talking with John Waters right now, filmmaker and writer. His latest book is called Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. He's going to be speaking in Madison on Thursday night at the Wisconsin Union Theater. And John, your muse, Divine, a legal name there was Glenn Milstead, was a childhood friend and a drag queen that was featured in a lot of your movies. What do you think Divine would make of where LGBT culture is today from shows like RuPaul's Drag Race or just how mainstream gay culture has become?
Well, I think Divine was not transgendered in any way. I always said he didn't want to pass as a woman. He wanted to pass as a monster. He was created to scare hippies. Divine never walked around in drag in real life. He had no desire to be a woman. He wore expensive men's suits at the end of his career. But he would be for the transgendered movement. He would be for gay marriage. He would be for everything. But Divine, to be honest, was not that political. But I think his career was political. What drag queen today, everybody on RuPaul, and I did the RuPaul show this year, isn't cutting edge. You know, when I was young, drag queens wanted to be Bess Meyerson and their mother and beauty queens. Today, they all carry chainsaws and have names like Aretha Franklin. I think Divine had something to do with it. That's a great drag name, isn't it?
It is. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. Now, you've been on the outskirts by choice, the outskirts of culture, most of your entire artistic life. Some circles you were known as the Prince of Puke. Why do you feel more comfortable there on the fringes?
I don't. I'm much more comfortable being an insider now because everybody else wants to be an outsider. I just came back from London where I had a 50-year tribute at the British Film Institute. I had a 50-year tribute last year at Lincoln Center. I can't get to be more of an insider in a weird way, which is the final irony of my life.
But your work is still, I mean, it's been recognized in mainstream culture and celebrated and lots of people quote it, so it's definitely got cultural cachet, but it's still not, you know, it's not going to be a Tom Hanks goes to the moon sort of movie. It's still on the outside.
Well, Hairspray sort of became as close as I could get to a giant hit. It's still, who would have ever thought that the musical would be playing in every high school in America? So it was the Trojan horse I thought of that snuck in culture.
So what does that mean to you then, being someone who started on the outside and kind of went mainstream?
It's hilarious. It's good. I don't have anything to complain about. I've had a wonderful career. My dreams came true years ago. This is all gravy and fun, and I'm excited to be alive for it.
So what is next for you then? You sound like you've hit some of these artistic milestones, and now you're just speaking your mind. What do you want to do next? What excites you?
Well, I have either a television show I can't talk about or a book I'm going to write next. My last two books were bestsellers and went over well, so my book tour never ends. You know, I have a spoken word show. I have a Christmas show I'm doing this year in 17 cities in 20 days in America. So I'm always on the road. I live on the road. I'm a carny.
Well, you mentioned Hairspray, and that was, of course, you said turned into a musical, which became super popular. What was that transition like from to music, to words, to singing?
Well, finally, my parents could come to one of my openings and say, we enjoyed it and their nose didn't grow. You know, from all the other years, my father, when he saw my last movie, said, it was funny, but I hope I never see it again. which was a great quote, I think. It was great. It was. I learned so much about Broadway musicals from being involved in that from the very beginning, and the team I worked with was so lucky. They did an absolutely amazing job of turning my movie, which was basically a dance movie, it was not a musical, into a musical that is celebrated all over the world. So it was a wonderful experience.
Let's talk about your book, Carsick. This is about you hitchhiking and taking a road trip across the United States. Why did you want to do that? I know you've got some carny in your blood, but why did you decide to do that?
I needed an adventure. I needed, my life was getting a little too safe, a little too predictable, a little too scheduled. I'm scheduled for the next 2 years already, so I thought, what would happen if I gave that up? And most people my age hitchhiked when they were young, and most young people have never hitchhiked, but they wanted to now. So I'm encouraging it. It's green. You might meet some people. It's a new way to travel. So I wanted an adventure, and I got one.
Well, what do you remember most about that trip? You met a lot of people along the way, but when you think back on it, what really sticks out is one or two of the iconic moments.
What sticks out is the worst part, standing there for 10 hours waiting for a ride. That is what stands out, something that I never imagined when I thought up the worst that could happen, which is, of course, diarrhea and getting murdered, and the best that could happen, which is sex and adventure and meeting exciting new people. But in real life, none of those things happen, but the general people that picked me up could not have been lovelier. You know, people that pick up hitchhikers are good people.
Now, you said you had to stand there for 10 hours waiting for a ride. Does that mean you had to sort of refine your sticking out the thumb technique there? Did you need to do anything differently?
No, I just contemplated drinking my own urine. Because I was standing there for so long in the heat without water that I actually whined to my assistant on the phone that exact statement.
I'm glad you explained that.
I'm sure resisted the urge to chuckle.
Well, you did. Like you said, you met some really interesting people, and among them, I gather, was a sandy-haired Republican there, not the person you expected maybe to bond with, but what was that like?
Oh, it's great. I'm going to be in his wedding next year, too, so we're still friends. I'm still in contact with many of the people that picked me up hitchhiking. The Kansas couple came to my book signing in Baltimore. I've had dinner with Here We Go Magic, the rock group, the Quebec Kid, as he called in the book. I'm going to be in his wedding. So I bonded and became lasting friends with the people that picked me up hitchhiking.
Well, so you're coming to Madison on Thursday. First, what are you going to do here, and what are you going to talk about?
Well, I have a show called This Filthy World that is constantly updated, so I talk about politics, crime, fashion. Basically, it's a self-help talk for people that are insane and are happy with being insane but want to live a life and get through life without having to change and still be happy. So I think I'm looking forward. I meet my people all over the world, and they're a special group.
So people who are insane, and what advice do you give people? I think a lot of us feel like there is a part of us that's a little different and we don't want to change. What advice do you have?
Well, that advice, exaggerate that, what you used to be frightened of, and turn it into a style, and you'll win. But at the same time, if you see some behavior coming that you repeat and it brings you unhappiness every time, it's time to change it. And you've got to figure out if it's worth it. And that's the complicated thing. And once you reach a certain age, you can't really blame your parents after you're 30. Really, stop whining. Get on with it.
John, so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was filmmaker and writer John Waters. His latest book is Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. He's going to be speaking in Madison on Thursday night at the Wisconsin Union Theater.